Women Worldwide with Deirdre Breckenridge introduces incredible stories shared by women across the globe who have experienced the great heights of success and, at times, the agony of defeat. With a vision to impart wisdom and advice on how to tackle barriers and soar to new heights, the show uncovers different perspectives to help you find your inner strength and to power up your own voice so you can excel in life.
Welcome to Women Worldwide. I'm your host, Deirdre Breckenridge. Part of what makes this podcast so special is the ability to talk to you about the things that are important to you. And you can help me do that by telling me more about you. So if you'd be so kind, just log on to www.mylistenerstudy.com to take a really short survey about who you are, what you're listening to, and how you listen. And if you do this, you'll even be able to enter for a chance to win a Google Chromecast. Now, don't worry, the survey is really short. It only takes a couple of minutes, and it's completely anonymous. We just want to learn a little bit more about you so we can make your listening experience even better. So that's mylistenerstudy.com, and if you're feeling lucky, you can enter to win that Google Chromecast. One more time, it's mylistenerstudy.com, and thanks for your help. We really appreciate it. Okay, now to this week's episode. Here's an interesting question to think about. Are entrepreneurs a special breed? Are they born into this world with a drive and need to succeed that most humanity lacks? Or do you think they can be created through education and experience and mentorship? Well, this question came out of Entrepreneur Magazine back in 2013, so you can see I'm still thinking about it. The author interviewed two academics who had very strong opinions on the matter. And what I found was really interesting is that one expert talked about this entrepreneurial gene. You know, who knows? Maybe there is a gene that's passed down from generation to generation. Maybe that's why we see very young children setting up their lemonade stands at age 5 and high school students who have these interesting entrepreneurial ventures all before they graduate. Well, this is the perfect segue to my special guest today. Her name is Rachel McCrary. Rachel is a fashion designer and intimate apparel expert. She's also an entrepreneur. She's the founder of Jewel Toned, which is the first contemporary shapewear brand with a whole new generation of shapewear. Rachel, it's such a pleasure to have you on my show. Welcome.
Hi, Deirdre. It's so nice to be here. Thank you so much.
Oh, well, okay. So there's a lot to discuss. You know, what I found amazing about you is that you were turning a profit in high school. So maybe you could just talk a little bit about what was behind the launch of your very first entrepreneurial venture. How did you do that?
Yeah, sure. A couple things. You know, I always wanted to be a fashion designer since as long as I can remember. And I started off with some little projects. My older cousins were in a band. They were about 8 years older than me. When I was about 16, I noticed that I didn't like their t-shirts for their band. So I redesigned their merch and went to a screen printer. I know. And asked, you know, how much it was to make the screen and buy the shirt. So I designed it, and then before I turned the screen on, I went around with an envelope, like a big manila envelope, and like took pre-orders, like door-to-door, and then, you know, raised the money essentially to open the screen, and then went and hands-delivered everyone's t-shirts when we were done. And then I also set up a little thing at the, you know, at the bar where the band was playing, where I wasn't even old enough to be, and ended up making more money than the band on the merch. And then I also started a mini dress company. I'm from Wilmington, North Carolina. I didn't love my shopping options, so I started making my own little satin mini dresses. It was the 90s. And people started asking me.
Yes, very popular in the 90s.
Yes. And frankly, it's back here lately.
But, oh, yes.
But yeah, so people started asking me, you know, will you make me one? So I started making custom clothing for people. And then I was in a few stores and had some fashion shows where I took orders there as well while I was in high school.
That's unbelievable. And were you watching somebody as you grew up? Was there somebody in the family, or did you clearly just have this own inner drive and you took it on your own?
You know, not necessarily entrepreneurial, but I was raised in a very matriarchal family where, you know, the women were very driven and valued education and didn't necessarily play by the rules. My grandmother was the first woman in the state of North Carolina to be, admitted into a doctoral program in a scientific field. So her husband passed away when she was young, and she raised her two children alone and put herself through, graduate school herself while working like three jobs as a single mom, you know. And then, throughout her career, she's a tenured professor of marine biology. So she definitely, taught me, don't play by the rules. And if there's something that you want, you should go get it. So it just wasn't never a big deal to me. I just always just was like, oh, that looks like a good idea. Let's just go straight into action mode. Like, I'm not a big marinator. You were talking about with the genes, it's a very interesting conversation to me because I don't really know anything different. Like, if I want to do something, I just go and do it.
Yeah, that's excellent. And, you know, you sort of went along this path, but then somehow you ended up as a vice president at Maidenform, which is very different than the entrepreneurial lifestyle. So you did Maidenform, but then you sort of ventured off and started your own company, which you have today. So if you were going to compare and contrast your corporate day versus the life of the entrepreneur, you know, take us down that road. How, I'm sure they're extremely different.
So in some ways, I think earlier in my career, there was probably a bigger difference, being a designer at various large companies was very much more, this is your task and you do this task every day and there's set parameters and it's, 9 to 6. But further along as an executive, it is a little bit more like being entrepreneurial. So later in my career, it was more, sink or swim. If you want new accounts, that's up to you. A lot of outside of business hours, phone calls, meetings. You might have a meeting at lunch. You might have a meeting at night. Traveling, was hired for bigger picture, big ideas, now implement it. As far as just day to day, I guess the difference is, I have less meetings now where I participate and more meetings that, it's up to me to run them, as opposed to maybe just, in corporate, you really just attend a lot of meetings that maybe aren't even necessarily applicable to you directly, but it saves everyone the sort of briefing time if everyone's just there and knows what's going on, which I totally understand. But, entrepreneurs don't really have time for that. So, at a smaller business, there's less of that, and everyone just kind of divide and conquer. And when you have meetings, you drive the bus.
And what about, do you think it was valuable to get that corporate experience to take into your entrepreneurial life? Is that a part of your process, or do you think in hindsight you could have done it without that?
No, I think I needed that. That was sort of my goal the whole time. I had some great teachers in college that told me if you want to be an entrepreneur in fashion, you should definitely work for someone else for at least 5 years. It's harder than you think, and that was great advice. I did that for even longer. There's just so many facets to learn, everything from pattern making to computer design to computer backend and blogs to buyers and shipping, four-ways fixtures, sourcing and manufacturing, photo shoots. Like, there's just so many things that you need to learn that it just takes a while. And I liked that experience. I really value my corporate jobs. I learned a lot. I had some great mentors. I think that's how you get mentors, right? Doing a good job for them, and then you sort of naturally fall into that relationship.
Do you feel like you still keep in touch with a lot of the folks that you met during your corporate life, and you're able to take them into entrepreneurial life?
Yes, totally. I use a lot of the same mentors for questions in my job now. A couple of friends left some of the places we used to work and currently work with me day-to-day full-time. And then, my former bosses, the longer my company stays alive, the more faith they have in me, they know it's tough out there and they're proud. So they do help me when they can. Some skill sets are applicable and some are not, from corporate to a startup. And they do help me where they can, and I'm grateful for that.
Oh, that's good. So when it came to launching Jewel Toned, what do you think got you the most excited about being an entrepreneur and this particular company?
I always, always, always wanted my own lingerie company. I can honestly say it's what I was born to do. I am put on this earth to help more women feel beautiful and comfortable. That's really why I'm here. I believe that beauty comes from within. I think it comes from your confidence level. I think it's not about how you're perceived by your partner or other people. I think it's how you perceive yourself in the mirror. And when more women feel more beautiful when they get ready, the better day they have, it permeates into their day, their life, with their families, coworkers, friends, and partners. And I really think one garment at a time, it does make a difference.
So, it's interesting that you point that out, and beauty does come from within. What do you think about the whole, first of all, what does body positive mean to you? And this is a two-part question. Is the fashion industry overall helping or hurting women on how they view their own body image?
I don't think we can blame the garment industry. What body positive means to me is women feeling comfortable in their own skin, mm-hmm. women looking in the mirror and having a positive inner dialogue about the way that they look. And when we look in the mirror and we say things to ourselves like, why is this here? Why is that here? Why is this moving south? Why does this not look like it used to? I just think that that's not serving us ever. I read something the other day that said something like, this is the youngest I'm ever going to be today, right? In 20 years from now, I'm going to wish I had the body that I do now, right? So we should embrace how we are today with respect to also making sure that we're healthy and we're maintaining a healthy lifestyle. But regardless of your size, to celebrate being alive and loving who you are genuinely. Part of the reason why I started Jewel Tone is I felt like some body shapers, when you look in the mirror, it kind of looks like a Band-Aid. And when I was talking to women over the years, models and buyers and customers, it just seemed like when they looked in the mirror sometimes with that, they didn't love what they saw, and they weren't like, oh my gosh, I look amazing, like they did with maybe, bra and panty or something. So I wanted to change the psychology around body shapers so that we would change the dialogue and therefore be more body positive. So my product won't come in nude because it doesn't match anyone anyway. It comes in black and bright colors, and obviously that's why it's called Jewel Toned. So it means to me is not shaming other women and celebrating diversity and celebrating ourselves and loving the way that we look today.
Well, I'll tell you. So I have your major mini dress, and it's awesome.
Really?
Yeah. And I love the way I feel in it. So there's something to be said about, that inner feeling and looking at yourself and feeling great. And yeah, so I wanted to compliment you on that. Is that a very popular little mini dress? Because I love it.
The major mini dress is our number one product. It comes in black and a variety of colors. It has a built-in bra and convertible straps. You can wear it underneath a cocktail dress, like traditional shapewear, or you can layer it underneath a more casual style, like something that's lace or crocheted, or a wrap dress or something where you just need some coverage. And, I don't love it when we wear a bra and a cami and a half slip. It's too fussy and everything moves and creates wrinkles under the fabric. So with this, you just have the one thing and you're good to go.
Yeah, I think that's the best way to sum it up. You have the one thing and you're good to go. That's a perfect line. Okay, so, you know, wanted to ask you another question because I'm thinking of an earlier conversation that we had. Now, you've done a lot of pitching of VCs, and you had said that pitching VCs is not for the faint of heart. So let's talk about that a little bit. Why do you feel that way, and what happened to make you say that?
Well, I mean, it's for anyone who has the drive to go and do that. But generally, I think I've noticed that it's a very unusual experience where you're very, very vulnerable, but yet you need to appear very confident, right? Sort of like dating, you're trying to find the right VC, you're trying to find the right business partner, just like when you're dating. You don't want to appear needy, but you don't want to appear like overconfident either, right? So it's sort of the same as dating in that way. Very vulnerable experience to be asked, every question about your business, and most people in that position, that early stage, it is synonymous with your life, so be ready to explain where all the bodies are buried and right. All the skeletons in the closet and talk about your financials and money and how you spent it and stand behind all of your choices and, what your intentions are, with your business, which can feel very vulnerable at the same time to do so very, very confidently and very sure of yourself, which are emotions that don't necessarily always go together.
Right.
Which is, it's difficult to navigate that through hours at a time, over and over again. The more you do it, the better you get at it. But, I was in a class at UCLA once, and it was compared to getting a colonoscopy. So It sort of feels like that emotionally. It feels like you're getting this like emotional colonoscopy.
That's brutal.
So, yeah. And then I've learned,
is that one every day?
Yeah, like getting, that's what he said. It's like getting
as
one every day for 9 months.
As opposed to once a year.
Yeah, exactly. And I've learned to not be attached to any outcomes. Like I've seen people get very upset, like, well, that meeting went well and I like this. How come it's just like dating. Like there's no rhyme or reason to it, right? So don't be attached to the outcome as far as like a particular person. Like don't get hung up on a particular VC or a particular fund. Just stay focused on your goal for your company, right? And keep your eye on the ball and not get stuck on any particular scenario.
Right. Something that I recently learned, which I want to float by you, somebody had said that, when you go into these meetings, it's almost, you're probably better off telling the VCs what it is that you're doing wrong, to be really open and just to say, here's why you wouldn't want to invest, because we've got this issue. And that's a total opposite approach of what you would normally think. What do you think about that?
Not really. I think that's true. I've noticed that people really appreciate it when you're very transparent and open. I think when people are considering doing business with you for a very long time, they want to make sure that you are who you say you are and you're within integrity. You're someone that they would actually like to work with, which is not someone blowing smoke, right?
Yeah.
And that you're calm and collected and confident, but also realistic and not living in the clouds. That's sort of a red flag. Like if you're just like, oh my God, this is the best thing ever. Always. Nothing's going to stop me. It's perfect. We're perfect. No one ever wants to hear that. Unless, you better be, if you're going to sell
that,
right?
Yeah, if you say that. Absolutely.
So it's better to show what you don't know. And why are you looking to them for help? I mean, sure you want funding, but there's many ways to do that without going the VC route. So I'm assuming you probably want some type of strategic partner or a business partner of some sort with some skill set aligned with prior businesses that are similar to yours. So obviously you have some issue that you want them to fill in, and no entrepreneur is expected to know everything about everything and handle everything on their own. So having a weakness is not, I guess, a weakness for other words, right?
That's
so
good
nothing
advice.
is perfect.
Yeah, and you don't want to walk around. Well, frankly, if you do think everything is perfect, then you just have a set of rose-colored glasses on. Exactly. Good advice, Rachel. I've been chatting with my special guest, Rachel McCrary, founder of Jewel Toned, about the launch of her shapewear business and also what it means to be body positive. In the next segment, Rachel will share her thoughts on commitment, failure, and what it means to be successful. And I also just want to take a moment to mention that this episode of Women Worldwide is brought to you by FreshBooks, the really easy-to-use cloud accounting software. I've known about FreshBooks for years. I wrote about them. I was impressed with their customer service back in 2009 when I put them in Putting the Public Back in Public Relations. You know, when you're in business, you face your share of challenges wherever and whenever you can, and I live by this, you want to keep it simple. So for all of you in business or aspiring to become your own boss, FreshBooks has some great tools and customer support that will help you. Here's what I like about FreshBooks. Their accounting software helps you to fly through all of the annoying admin and the paperwork tasks that you don't want to do, but you know it's necessary that you have to do, all while you're building this entire empire of yours, because that's what entrepreneurs and business owners do best. And now the word accounting doesn't have to scare you. FreshBooks is actually made for creative types who don't really like the numbers. And it literally takes 30 seconds to create and send out a really professional looking invoice. You can add your own logo, your color scheme, so that it reflects your brand. And your clients can pay you online, which seriously improves how quickly you get paid. FreshBooks can even show you when a client has looked at your invoice that you've emailed. So no more of that, oh, I didn't get that email. Can you resend that invoice? Two additional quick points that are super important. On customer support, you get a live person quickly, which has true value today. And time tracking. FreshBooks will also handle tracking time. Time and money go together hand in hand. Keeping track of both lets you know where your time and your money goes. And there's something special for you. FreshBooks is offering a free month to all Women Worldwide listeners right now, and you don't even need a credit card for your trial. To claim your free month, go to freshbooks.com/women and enter Women Worldwide in the How Did You Hear About Us, because you want to let them know that we sent you. So now you can sign up today for your free month at freshbooks.com/women.
You have been listening to Women Worldwide with your host, Deirdre Breckenridge. Segment 2 is coming right up.
Creating brand loyalty requires a unique blend of strategic communications and innovative technology. Pure Performance Communications works with businesses to move their audiences from interest to action, giving you a roadmap that fosters deeper engagement and forges stronger relationships along the way. Visit us at pureperformance.com. Thank you.
Now, back to Women Worldwide with your host, Deirdre Breckenridge.
I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. Welcome back to the show. We're Rachel McCrary, founder of Jewel Toned, and I were chatting about her move from being in the corporate world to being an entrepreneur and launching her shapewear company. So Rachel, you know, we've definitely covered a lot of ground. Would love to kind of get your take on a very special word for entrepreneurs. What does commitment mean to you? And two-parter, what do you think it means to the people around you, professionally and personally?
Yeah, sure. I love the word commitment. It means a lot to me. You know, I'll get teary-eyed if I even talk about it too much. I think it's lovely. I think it's something that I've learned throughout my experience in the corporate world and as an entrepreneur to really know what it means to commit to something and really think about that before you do it. And then once you commit to it, to not waver and know that it's going to be challenging at times and hard at times, and that, you know, seeking a way out isn't really an option. You're married to it, and, you know, this is just what you're doing with blinders on and until it becomes, you know, unless something happens where it's unrealistic or you know, you don't want to be not smart about it, but just the fact that it's hard sometimes should not be a reason to quit. That quitting is just so not an option.
So, you know, yeah, that and when somebody like you, and I feel the same way, when you have a commitment, you're going to see it through. There's a lot that goes into it, your heart, your passion, your soul. How do you feel about the people around you? Do you think you attract the same kind of people, or they sort of learn to become this way? Because, you know, if you can get everybody to have the same commitment, think about what a powerful team you would have. So take that into your own company. How does that work?
Yes, I am proud to have a very committed team. I think number one, you should lead by example. They see how I'm the first one in, the last one to leave, and pretty much available 24/7 for anything. They know that I put my business first, and, you know, there's not really any exceptions to that. They, you know, I chat with them about it prior to coming here. You know, this is a commitment. This is something that we're all going to be in together. It's probably going to be a roller coaster. We need to be there for each other and celebrate the wins and, you know, help rise each other up when it's hard. If that does not sound like something that you would enjoy, you know,
right.
You know, let's talk about that now. You know, this is not we're not trading time for money. This is not check in and check out. You have to have passion, dream, and a drive and want to commit to something and learn and contribute. And you know, that has to sound like a fun and good idea to you, which is not for everybody.
Right.
You know, I don't have that problem in my immediate circle. Like, everyone is so committed to Jewel Tone, and you know, whenever we talk to women and they send us pictures and they're like, oh, I've never worn this before, you know, or I've never felt comfortable in front of my husband in a bodycon dress or, you know, whatever it is, you know, it just makes it so worth it.
Oh, yeah.
And when you like the people you work with and the people around you, it's really not even work. People say you guys work all the time, but really we don't. I mean, what else would we be doing, you know? So, I suppose we could go paddleboarding more or watch more Housewives, but you know, and we do all those things. But you know, it's fun to like really work at something and then reap rewards from it. I can't think of something else I'd rather do. It's the most rewarding thing, especially when you set out, you know, for certain goals. Like, I want to be in this retailer. I want to do this much this week. I want to get customers in a new area. How can we brand, educate, and you know, this demographic? When you see the results and the wins from it, it's so much more rewarding
yes.
than pretty much anything else that I can think of.
So true. And all of that equals one word, which is success. So I'm going to ask you to now fill in the blanks. With success comes blank.
A feeling of contentment, a feeling of accomplishment, a feeling of satisfaction and almost a sense of peace and not wanting something else, being present, feeling like you're in the right place at the right time and that you're right where you're supposed to be, feeling helpful and helped and loving and loved and just in the flow.
Oh my goodness, that was the best. That was the best answer. You're like giving me chills. I could have gotten choked up over that. I loved your answer. That was really, really good. That was deep.
Oh.
Yeah. I hope if a lot of entrepreneurs feel that way, I think that the people around them and what they would be doing will certainly stand out as what you're doing stands out. In your experience, do you think, and this is all around the whole success, and now sometimes success equals money for some. In your experience, do you think women find it easier than men to talk about money, or is the reverse true?
Yeah, I don't think women feel comfortable talking about money as a whole as much. Obviously, there's exceptions, but in general, I noticed that, you know, we're just not as comfortable talking about it. I often suggest to people that ask me for advice to become comfortable talking about money. And that it's just, a form of something to aid in transactions, and that to not take it all so personally and to take it in, and that to not that your self-worth monetarily is not you, whether it's positive or negative. And the more women that become comfortable talking about money can become, investors and then therefore invest in other female-founded mm-hmm. companies, so that gap will eventually close. Because people, I don't think that the gender gap is based on any type of, like sexism or anything like that. I think people just naturally gravitate investing in products that they have experience in and that they personally like, right?
Right.
So if you're a woman, that's probably just, for example, a mini dress company.
Yeah.
Sure. It's just, so that's just the nature of it. I've asked investors, what's your favorite investment? They usually say, this camera that goes on a snowboard or whatever it is that they personally like. And not that that's always, gender specific, but a lot of times, it just is. That's the reality. So the more women that become investors, the more women founders will feel understood and like they have a home and more synergy will be created that way so that it can flow more. So I think that's the best thing we can do with society is for women to learn to make smaller angel investments. It doesn't need to be anything crazy, but it's also a fun thing for women to do that have excess monetary resources, and it might be a little more beneficial to their and enhancing to their life than maybe a charity here and there, and then you can see a bigger return on your investment and then, still be involved in philanthropy, but also feel like you're directly being helpful to another woman's business and then learning yourself.
Oh, I love that.
Rewarding.
Yeah. I think we should all be helpful to other women who are in business. And if that starts with feeling more comfortable about, money and talking about money and being more confident, then that's where we need to go together. Cause I'd love to see that too. On the flip side of success, of course, is loss or even failure. So what are your best practices for getting yourself motivated when you've experienced some type of a loss?
In reference to business, it's a huge learning experience. The bigger the loss, if you felt like there's something you could have done differently, you probably won't ever make that mistake again, right? I think that a lot of loss is some things that we can't control. So a lot of it's just luck of the draw or someone's mm-hmm. mood that day, right? So, and has had million factors that we can't control, in the press or other people talking about your products or anyone can just download your app or use your software or your product and you may not have any control over the outside world. So you can't really beat yourself up about it. You can look for the nuggets of what can I learn for next time. We're almost always better once we learn and grow through something and are on the other side of it. As far as something big, like maybe your startup doesn't work out or something, first of all, anyone that ever told me that I had a failed startup, I automatically thought they were probably the smartest person in the room already.
Yes.
Even
that's right.
Even getting there tells me that, if it was viable for a while, they probably have about 50 skill sets because a variety of skill set and just being ambidextrous with a million things and being very flexible is necessary for that. So I'll automatically probably get some respect there. And I guarantee you they know a lot and we'll take that into their next thing. They always say it's maybe your third or fourth one, right? Because you learn so much. I'm sure that everyone, even at the time when we're in it, right, that are the bottom part of the roller coaster, we can't see, but usually when we're at the top again, we're like, oh, well, I sure am glad that happened because if not, I wouldn't be here. That's
exactly.
Probably applicable to many different things in life. So I think, regrets are futile and we should just learn from it and try to take the lesson forward.
Definitely. I mean, you get stronger and smarter as you go along. So not that you want to have 10 failed businesses, but with every failure, the next one will be more successful and more successful. So definitely something to look forward to. What advice would you give to those entrepreneurs who, I don't know, I guess they're burning the candle at both ends and not quite seeing the rewards yet? That's a tough spot to be in.
You know, I get the balance question a lot. I don't really agree. I think all in, my personal philosophy is just all in, because time is usually of the essence. You have a certain amount of time to make certain milestones, and that doesn't really account for not doing it on nights and weekends. So the faster you get there, the better. And that's just a commitment that you've committed to this lifestyle for a while, and the rewards will probably outweigh something else you could have done with that time, right? That's just what we're all betting on. So I don't really love the balance thing. I think not having it, you know, the more you put into something, the more you get out of it. But I guess if you're seeing no results, maybe take a step and look at that further, because if you're not getting wins out of it, maybe you're going in the wrong direction, or maybe you need to pivot into another direction, because, you know, and even if you don't get to the main goal, there should be little milestones along the way, you know, that you met your certain users or data points or whatever it is that you're trying to get. Like, you should be able to see the wins along the way. So if you're not, it might be time to sort of look into that from a realistic perspective.
Yeah, that's really good advice. And what do you think about getting advisors, you know, as an entrepreneur starting your business? Did you have advisors around you who could kind of help evaluate and give you their insights? Is that something that you would recommend as well? Or is it just your own gut feeling and moving forward?
I ask everyone in the world for advice all the time. and I usually go with my gut no matter what. And when I don't, I realize I should have. So just like any other tool, learning to use that and learning to listen to that and being more comfortable, like every single time you're like, oh, I knew that. Why did I do that? I should have listened to that person. Don't beat yourself up. Go back to that. When you had that feeling, what did that look like? Was it like a pain in your stomach? Did your body get warm? Use your body as a compass. Like, the next time you feel that feeling, know that, okay, let's stop and look into this and check in. We felt this before, and, you know, what is my body trying to tell me that it knows that I might not be seeing?
That's great advice.
And then I always listen to the advice of the people that have invested, honestly, a monetary stake in your business. Their advice is probably going to be more valuable, because it's not just off the cuff. You could literally ask anyone advice about it. People love to give their opinion. But, you know, I would stick to the people that are closest to your business, unless the person that you find has exactly the skill set in your specific thing and has done that. That might be something I would listen to. But just general business advice from people who are not in the same sort of like realm, I found is kind of all across the board. And I don't really listen. I just kind of go with my gut usually.
Yeah. And everybody is quick to give advice. And we do have to remember that, you know, different business owners have different perspectives shaped by the way that they have conducted themselves or whatever niche area they're in. And, you know, every situation is different. I always, always appreciate the advice. Sometimes it comes in the form of resistance. If I have an idea and, you know, the advice is not to go that route, but when I trust my own gut, I tend to be right. I guess I'm lucky. And I think you're the same way too. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty good to be able to listen to your body and to know when you're moving down that right path. Okay, so last question, super, super easy. Where can my listeners find out more about you and Jewel Toned?
Yeah, so Jewel Toned's website is shopjeweltoned.com, or you can just type Jewel Toned into Google. And then we're Jewel Toned on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. So yeah, come and find us. If you have any questions about our products or shapewear or what to wear with what, or just want to tell me about your dreams for your life. Entrepreneurs come in all shapes and sizes. You don't have to sort of start up. You can just have a dream and that starts with one step. I'd love to hear all about it. So yeah, shopjeweltone.com.
Oh, terrific. Rachel, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your journey, how your entrepreneurial venture is really change the face of shapewear, I know personally, and for promoting. Oh, you're welcome. And promoting the body positive image. I think that's awesome.
Yes.
And I also want to thank FreshBooks for their special offer to Women Worldwide listeners and to all of you for tuning into the show. Until the next episode, stay focused, energized, and feeling empowered. Thank you.
You have been listening to Women Worldwide with Deirdre Breckenridge, brought to you by Pure Performance Communications on the socialnetworkstation.com. You can reach Pure Performance at www.pureperformancecom.com. Women Worldwide is produced by SNI, and the opinions of the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of Social Network Intermedia, LLC, or the Social Network Station.